Okay. Good. Okay, thank you. Okay, the Shabbos, Be'ez Hashem, we read Parshas Truma. And in Parshas Truma, we're introduced for the first time to something called Techeles. The Torah tells us towards the beginning of the Seder the various different things that need to be contributed by people for the construction of the different things in the Mishkan. And it says at the beginning of the Seder, Shmos Perakof Hei, it says in Pasuk Dalet, among the things, Uscheles Argomon V'Solal Shoni V'Sheish Rizim. Different types of materials. Rashi tells us in Pasuk Dalet, the word Uscheles Tzemer, it's wool. It says Rashi, Tzavua B'dam Chalozon. It is dyed, it's wool that has been dyed with the blood, lots of African blood, but you know, some secretion from something called the Chalozon. Utzvo'o Yarok. Its color is Yarok. Now, in modern Hebrew, Yarok means green. It's not necessarily the case that always in Talmudic Hebrew or Biblical Hebrew it means green. For example, sometimes the Gemara, when describing green, will use the expression Yarok Kekarsi, which means green like a leek, you know, the vegetable leeks. So Yarok can mean something else. But nevertheless, it appears that Rashi says it's the Techeles has a kind of greenish color. The Techeles is mentioned elsewhere in this Sedra, a couple of other places in this Sedra. I'll just show you the ones that are relevant to this Sedra, and of course it comes up even more so next week's Sedra with regard to the Big Day Kahuna. Many of the Big Day Kahuna and Pasha Tetzaveh have Techeles in it. But for example, in the beginning of Parakav Vav, Pasuk Aleph, Es HaMishkan Taaseh Eser Yirios, Sheish Morzor Uscheles, Yargomon V'Solah Shoshoni. These are the tapestries, you know, of the Mishkan. That's in Parak Chof Vav Pasuk Aleph. A few psukim later, in Pasuk Dalad, Yosiso Lula Os Techeles, little round, I don't know what to call them, things that feel like loops, I guess, right? The loops also made out of Techeles, Asfas Hayriach Achaz, at the end of each, or Echaz, at the end of each of these tapestries, these curtains. And later on in Pasuk Lamed Aleph, all this Pasuk Parak Chof Vav, Pasuk Aleph, Yosiso Faroches, the parochas. And again, as I said, in next week's Sedra Parsha Tetzave, quite a number of the Big Day Kahuna were made with Techeles as one of the things that were woven in. And of course, in Vayakhlan Pekudei, the Sedra's will be in a couple of weeks, which describe the carrying out of the commands that are issued here in Truman Tetzave. Techeles is mentioned many times. And it's also mentioned in Parshas Bamidbar at the end of the Sedra, where it describes when they would transport the Mishkan, they had to move all the kelim, they had to put the kelim in, they would cover the kelim, a sign of respect. They would just carry them, you know, they would cover them up, like we take a Sefer Torah, we cover it, you know, we don't just take it out by itself. You know, people move from the Sefer Torah from one place to another, they put a talus around or whatever. So the Torah describes, in the Parsha Bamidbar, what the coverings of the different kelim were. And again, Techeles is featured prominently over there as well. And of course, the primary we'll use, you know, in terms of our current situation, of course, is in Tzitzis, which we'll get back to. But just describing what Techeles is, so Rashi said here again at the beginning of our Sedra, Rashi said Techeles is wool, which is dyed this color. That is the implication of the Gemara in Yevamos on the Dalet and Beis, where the Gemara says that Techeles, just a moment. Talking there about mixing wool and linen, the issue with shatnez, and it says, I'm just going to find it, Vitana de Rebbe Shmuel, one second, that's the wrong thing, here, Vitana de Rebbe Shmuel, Kol Begadim, Tzemer Ufishtim Heim, all the Begadim of the Kuna were made either out of wool or out of linen, Tzemer Ufishtim, okay, Kol Begadim, Tzemer Ufishtim Heim, Amar Achmana Ovid Le Techeles. Okay, and you're supposed to put Techeles on. Utcheles Imra or Amrahu. Okay, Techeles is Imra. Okay, it says that Techeles, I'm going to show you that Techeles is made out of wool. So the Gemara says, Umay the Techeles Imra or Amrahu. How do we know that Techeles is wool? Because me the Sheish, Kitna, because Sheish, we had this on the Spookim, right? V'solah Shani v'Sheish v'izim. Sheish is linen. Okay, that's one of the fibers that were in the Big Day Kahuna. So Sheish is linen, so therefore Techeles is wool. Okay, and it's because Sheish is woman, because is linen, then Techeles is wool, because previous statement of Rishma, the Kol Begadim Tzemer Pishim, all the Big Day Kunas. That's the whole issue. That's the subject there in the beginning of Yavamas about Asay Dochalos, Asay and Shatnas and in Big Day Kahuna and so on and so forth. Anyway, so the Gemara says clearly that that Tcheles is Amro, wool. Rashi explains because it says by the Rashi Tcheles Amrohu, Midashesh Kisna, the Ksiv Mitnase Bad Shesh Morzar, Ubad Hanu Pishim, Bad is linen, other word for linen. The other colors that I mentioned at same pasuk, namely argamon, right? It says tcheles argamon v'tolah shani. Okay, she'ain big day kuna alam tzemer pishim b'chsib b'sevi chesma kipurim big day pishim yubushu and some v'le'ala alam tzemer shmamina she'avodus chetzonah sheish b'am tzemer im pishton v'lo min acher. So therefore, ukinu farish kosh sheish b'echad min aminis shmamina shamin im tzemer ayu. Because it had both, so one is linen, we know bad is linen, that's sheish, so the other one is wool. So all the ones that are dyed, tcheles is well, Rashi is greenish, or perhaps a greenish-blue color, we'll see in a moment. Argamon is a more purplish color, talashon is a reddish color, these are the different colors, so it's all wool. So that's what we assume la halacha. And the Rambam tells us this as well, okay, actually in two places, in the beginning of Hilchos Tzitzis, the Rambam writes in Perek Beis, halacha aleph of Hilchos Tzitzis,
wool or is it the dye?
Well, tcheles is wool that has been dyed that color. The point is that it's wool. Okay? It's wool that is...
It doesn't just mean the color.
So apparently, Rashi writes, Rambam writes, Perek Beis, Hilchos Tzitzis, Halacha Aleph. Tcheles hamur b'tor b'chol makom, hi hatzemer hatzavua, is wool, which has been dyed this color, kiposuch shebekochel. Like the clear of a blue, a kochel is blue, but kochel is like a blue... Like you know, like an eyeliner or a, you know, but it's what you put on like a, what do you call it, a dye, I guess the women put on their eye, like the bluish, I forgot what the word is, it's like kind of makeup.
Mascara
kind of thing, right. But it's clear, okay, and it says, Rash, says the Rambam, Vizuhi Demus Harakia, right? It's like the sky, Haniris La'ayin Betir Harakia, that which you can see is, you know, at the clear part of the clear day, like a noontime sky. That's what Rashi assumes, and the Rambam assumes. But tcheles over tzitzis, and it has to be dyed in a certain way, and so on. But that's what the Rambam writes in Perek Beis of Hilchos Tzitzis, Halacha Aleph. And similarly, he says the same thing when describing the klei hamikdash, right, the vessels of the garments, actually, of the Kohen Gadol, in Perek Gimel of Hilchos, Perek Ches. Of Hilchos Klei HaMikdash, Perek Ches, of Hilchos Klei HaMikdash, Halacha Yud Gimel, V'chol Mokom Shneber B'Torah Sheish, Obad, Hu HaPishtim, that's linen, or sometimes called Hu HaBoots. We have that Megillas Esther coming up. Right? Chavivutz V'Argamon, right? U'Scheles HaMor B'chol Mokom, Hu HaTzemer HaTzvua, Ke'etzem HaShamayim. It's wool, which is medayed this color, Shehu Pasuk Menakocha, again, the same thing, this clear blue. Okay? And Argamon, he says, well, he says, who are tzemetzavu adom, who are tzemetzavu betolaz. Okay, different opinions about the colors. But in any event, we see that the tcheles refers to wool that has been dyed in this particular color. Now, Rashi, as we just said before, Rashi here in our Sedra mentioned that tcheles was green. Okay, now that's a bit of a problem because the Gemara has the famous drasha that many people are familiar with. It's in the Midrashim, it's in a few places, but I'm quoting the Gemara in Menachos Daf Mem Gimel Amud Beis. That's where I look at a little bit at Menachos today. Menachos Mem Gimel Amud Beis. Gemara actually asks. Okay, Tanya, we have a statement of Meir. Okay, Hayar of Meir Omer. Manishtana Tcheles Mikol Minei Tzivonin. Why is Tzitzis? And Menachos here talking about Tzitzis. Why is Tzitzis the color of tcheles? Why was tcheles selected of all the different dyes and all the different colors? Why dafka tcheles? And because it says, because the famous Rosh Mipnesha tcheles dom al yam, that's the color of the sea. Ayam dom al rakia, and the sea is like the color of the sky. Rakia lekisak kovod. Shenemar, the pasuk in last week said at the end of Mishpatim when the Torah describes there was Mamad Har Sinai, and it says that they saw Kadosh Baruch Hu to some extent, and it says v'sachas raglav kemase livnas asapir uchetzem shamayim latar uchsiv kemare even sapir the muskise that the Bichezkel Perak Aleph, when he saw the throne of Kadosh Baruch Hu, also mentioned sapir. Okay, And that's a bluish color. Is it sapphire? Sapphire sounds like sapphire, but I think people assume that it's more, it's lapis, what is it called, lapis lazuli, which is really a blue, a real blue. Yeah, so in any event, the trellis, according to this medrash, according to this gemara, according to the statement of the mayor, it's telling us that, you know, the color is a bluish color. Who cares if it's dumb? So Rashi says, Manishtan, again, this is Menachos Mem Gimel and Beis. Manishtan at Chelas, Yichto Akash Baruch Hu Mitzvah Zu. The Akash Baruch Hu set aside Chelas for this mitzvah of all colors. Because Dom Ali Yam, Shana Subo Nisim Li Yisrael. Why did I mention the Yam? Because that reminds us of Kriyas Yam, so Akash Baruch Hu's miracles. Rakia Lakisa Kovud, Umikoach at Chelas, Mazkir Yoshev Al Kisei. Somehow the Chelas, you see, the Chelas reminds you of he who sits on the throne, Akash Baruch Hu. Ve'od nali soil she kisa aleim shenemar sachas raglav the hainu rakia and so on. Uchsiv sapir ubekisa kisi sapir amar rakia kumachse kisa utchelas yam v'yam rakia v'anan kachazina. We see all this connection. Yeah.
Quick question. My understanding is there's a masara of lechem moshmi sinai that the source of the dye has to be from a specific mollusk.
We'll get to that.
So if that's the case,
yeah.
Unless that mollusk also produces green dye. I mean, is it the...
So hold the thought.
Is
hold
it
hold
the masorah is a certain color and the mollusk...
So there's no doubt that it's a problem,
right?
So let's see. So Rashi says Yarok, okay, and it's a bit of a problem. And others say it also. I don't really want... I wasn't really planning tonight's show to speak that much about the color, the actual color. I want to get to something else. But we'll deal with that in a second. But again... by the way, Tosis, before I get to Tosis, Dimasu Rokia Domela Sapir, he has it a little differently. The way we have it printed in the text is... Tchelas domel yam yam domel rakia rakia domel kisei. He said there's one more step. There's rakia domel sapir and sapir domel kisei. That's how the Tosis has that kiss. Okay, not a big deal. But
if it's the malas, if there's the masorah, that's the source. Why is there so much discussion?
Okay, so
the color is if
right.
Whatever
well,
comes from that.
Right, color. Right. Okay, but the question is. Especially today, so we know that we've used the color to try to figure out what the creature is that creates it. Okay, but again, right? We don't. We're going to get to all this. Give me a chance. So that's. But in any event, that it seems to be a bluish type of color. There's also another raya. There seems to be a raya from a gemara in. Okay, there's a gemara above Metzia. I'll just have to tell it to you about Peb because it's I don't have it in front of me. I'm sorry. The Gemara Bava Metzia Daf Samach Aleph Mud Beis. The Gemara teaches says a teaching from Rava, who asks why certain psukim or certain mitzvahs have us as associated. That doesn't matter. All right, Bava Metzia would be the second chelik Bava Metzia. Oh wait, I got it. Wait, no, I didn't get it. I'm sorry. Well, let's see a second.
One is flying flat.
Flat.
Above you.
Okay,
next shelf.
Okay, tricky. I'm sorry. Okay, all right. I apologize. So anyway, I'll read to you from the Gemara there. The Gemara says in Bamitzia Samach Alam Beis. There are certain mitzvahs. We know this that the mitzvah ends with a reference to Ani Hashem Alkech Masharot Tzeisich and Eretz Mitzrayim. But there's some reference to Eretz Mitzrayim in connection with the mitzvah. The certain mitzvahs have that quality. So the Gemara wonders why that is. Okay, Amar Rava Lomali Dekoser Achoni Tzeis Mitzrayim Beribis and Tzeis Mitzrayim Gabe Tzitzis and Tzeis Mitzrayim BeMishkolos. Okay, weights and weights and measurements. All these places. You look at the psukim. I'm not going to spend the time now, but they all have in sort of summarizing. It mentions that Kadosh Baruch Hu is the one who took us out of Mitzrayim. Okay, Rashi just tells you where to find them. Okay, Yitzis Mitzrayim got to be Ribis Beparshas Bahar Sinai. Okay, it tells you to look it up yourself. It doesn't quote the whole pasuk, but Parshas Bahar. It says in connection to the Ribis, you know, I am Hashem who took out of Mitzrayim, and got to be Mishkolos in Parshas Kedoshim Teil. Okay. So why in these cases? The Amar Kodesh Baruch Hu, Aniu Shevchante b'Mitzrayim, Bein Tipa Shal Bechor, L'Tipa She'ena Shal Bechor. Okay? But at the time of Makas Bechoros, Kodesh Baruch Hu was the only one who truly was a Bechor. You could have, that's why sometimes in a Mitzri home, there was more than one person died, because there was more than one Bechor in the house, because, you know, there was more than one father, and so on and so forth. Or sometimes there was no one in the house. So Kodesh Baruch Hu, or more simply, HaKadosh Baruch Hu distinguished between the Bechor of the Jews and the Bechor of the Egyptians. But in any event, Rashi says, Shevchan Nitzam, Harei Shabo Asar Revokim on Mitzvah Achaz. Okay, if 10 men had relation with one Mitzvah woman, Nisabim Be'ezer Bivurin, Ezer Bechor, Shem Bechor, Shavi, and Kulon Meso. They all died because they were all Bechor from the father. Anyway, HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, I made that distinction. I was able to distinguish. So I will also know, therefore, he said, okay, that Okay, the guy messes around. He messes around by lending with interest because he does it through a goy, right? The trick. I know the tricks. Or a guy has weights and he puts a little salt on it. You can't see, but it weighs it down a little more. So you're ordering a pound of meat and you're getting a little less than a pound because he weighed the weight, right? And that kind of thing. And the third one for us, we should tole kola elon bebigdo. The omer tchelesu. Kola elon is a plant. Okay, and it manufactures a dye that evidently looks just like tchelis, but it's not acceptable. Like you said, we'll see shortly, the tradition is that the tchelis dye must come from a certain living creature. You can do it, okay, Rashi says, again, Malva Moshe Benochi, a guy lends to a goy, Malva Moshe Yisrael, Baribis Omer Shonochihem. He lends to a Jew, but interest, oh, it's not my money, it's a goy's money. But Kala Elon, Tseva Hadom Le Tcheles. Rachmanam, so Tcheles, Dom Yikarim, Shetzavu Badam Chalozon, Shenon Lamin Ayam, Elachas Shishim Mishonah. The Chalozon is much more rare, so therefore it's more expensive, and it's much cheaper to get Kala Elon. It's a plant, you can get anywhere where plants grow. So this wise guy goes ahead and he dyes the Tcheles, it sits this. The color of Tchela, say, oh, it's Tchela, but it's really Kala Elon. What is Kala Elon? So I don't have that in front of me. It doesn't pay to get it. The Nemuke Yosef in the back on the riff here in above Metzia, Lama Dalam Olive, mentions Kala Elon indigo. Okay, well, indigo is blue. Right? Indigo is a shade of blue. And he specifically says indigo. But male, at least according to Nemuke Yosef, clearly if the Kala Elon could fool, because I can tell the difference. The average person looking can't tell the difference. Okay, I know the difference. I'll pay back anybody who's a wise guy and tries to put Kala Elon dye on his tzitzis instead of tchelos. I can tell Sekhlet Baruch. Why? That's why it says the end of the parashah. I was able to distinguish things then. I can distinguish here too. That's the Gemara. But for our purpose, what emerges in that Gemara is that actually Kala Elon is obviously close enough to tchelos that, you know, you'd mix it up if you didn't know the difference. You can't tell the difference easily. So therefore, we see that it's, at least according to that opinion, it's indigo. So said the Nemuke Yosef. Okay, there is a sefer, very interesting, you know, the Teferis Yisrael on the Mishnayos. Teferis Yisrael, Yisrael Lifshitz wrote the Yochanan Boaz commentary. So he has a number of very fascinating introductions to different dinim before each section. So in Moed, he has something called Kupas Harochlim, Klale Bigde Kodesh Al Kahuna. There's all kinds of rules regarding the Bigdei Kahuna and so on. So one thing he says is, "Be'inyan Tcheles Yeshu Sofer Gadol Ki Yadua Sheitzeva Blue Beis Lamed Vav Yud Aleph." He says blue, okay? It's blue, okay? And he mentions about the Chalazon and so on. But in any event, he also obviously then is saying the color is blue. That's what I want to get to. So that seems to be, I think, the most commonly held view. What does Rashi mean by yarok? Well, I can tell you the following. All right, having seen dyeing tchelis with what many people assume currently is the correct chalazon, actually in the stage, in the development stage, it turns green for a while. Okay, you know, the colors develop. You have to leave it out, and so I suppose the sunlight, and it is green for a while. So maybe it has a greenish color. Radak one place writes it's ultramarine. It's like aqua. You know, it has a green. So maybe that's what Rashi is getting to. I don't know because it's Rishami that said it's like A7. It's like green, but again, grass can be different. Also, bluegrass, you know, in Kentucky or whatever. But the bottom line is that most assume that it's blue. Now, as we just said before, the where does it come from? So the Tosefta in Menachos Perek Tes Halacha Vav, okay. Do I have that here? No. So the Tosefta in Menachos says that it must come dafke from a creature called the Chalazon. Okay, that's the tradition. That's there's no Tosefta here. Oh. Okay. Just a moment. Assumed it would be here. Okay. This is my after the more hang on. Oh, okay, it must be somewhere else, but I must have printed somewhere else. But anyway, the Tosefta, take my word for now, the Tosefta in Menachos Perek Tes Halacha Vav says that it has to come from the Chalazon. Of course, for our purposes nowadays, the most important use of Tcheles is with regards to the Mitzvah Tzitzis. Where the Torah tells us in Parsha Shlach at the end, what we call lovingly the Parsha of Tzitzis, right, the third Parsha of Kriyishma, and it says over there in Parak Tes Vav of Bamidbar.
We're using a Trey Fatima.
That's a very excellent question. Another time,
I
also.
Okay. Like, no, we'll how to make the film. Like,
right, right.
It must have been a
Hesse for yeah, all we'll try and talk about it. Look what it says. Perak Tetzvav, Pasuk Lamed Ches. Daber Abba Yisrael Vamatol Lehem Vasulam Tzitzis Al Kamtev Gdevodo. Someone Asulam Tzitzis Al Kamtev Pesil Techeles. By the way, just as a side point, Rashi here too on this Pasuk Lamed Ches says over here that the Techeles, he says again, is. Where is it? Just a moment. So it says, "Tchelas tseva yorok shel chalozim." So again, yorok. So Rashi is consistent. We have to figure out what it means. A little bit difficult, but that's the Rashi. So anyway, so for our purposes, you require you require tchelas. Now, what if you don't have tchelas? So that's a Mishnah in the fourth parak of Menachos, which is called parak tchelas because that's the opening word of the Mishnah. On Daf Lamed Ches Amud Aleph, Mor says, "Hatcheles ena me'akeves es halovan, v'halovan ena me'akev es hatcheles." Okay, they're not me'akev. You have one, not the other. And Rashi fills in the blanks. Hatcheles ena me'akeves es halovan, v'afal the mitzvah, even though it's a mitzvah. Even though, well, one second. That's a good question. Afal gav the mitzvah law says tcheles beis chutin betzitzis can mefarish l'kama on afilo hachi. Ein ze me'akev ze ve'i avid arbatan tcheles or arbatan lovan yotzev. All four with tcheles, all for lovan yotze. That's the Mishnah says. Tcheles is not if you don't have, so you make all four strings white. You don't have any white, you make all four strings blue. But that doesn't matter, right? That's what this first Mishnah, again, that's what the reason it comes up here is because these Mishnayos, what's it doing? Menachos, Menachos is about karbonos, where it's about tzitzis. So the previous Mishnayos, other Mishnayos talk about things that are not, we go together, but are not necessarily ma'akev. Okay, so that's another example, is tchelas not ma'akev. The same thing. Tfilah shel yad, ena ma'akev shel rosh. Tfilah rosh, ena ma'akev shel yad. Tfilah shel rosh, same idea. Anyway, that's the mission in Menachos, Lam and Ches, Amar Al. The Gemara says, though, and no one agrees to that. Lema masnisin de lo kerebi. De tanya, u'isim aso malamed shema akvin zezeh. Rebbe learns that it is ma'akev, zeh divi Rebbe. V'chacham omi ein ma'akvin. So not everybody agrees with the with this assertion that they're not ma'akev. As a matter of fact, halacha l'maisa, there are those who paskin that actually they are ma'akev.
Bad then to wear you'd be wearing a four cornered garment without
right.
If you have the tzitzis without the tchelis,
yeah. So
you'd be putting yourself in a position to
if you paskin that way, right? If you paskin that they're ma'akev, yes. In fact, the balamor happens to paskin that way. Okay, the Balamor Paskin is that way, so surprising enough. So let's see. So the Balamor writes in Shabbos, Balamor in Shabbos, Yud Beis Man Aleph from the page of the Rif. He says, "Have you Odeya? Should that Tenu know that the Dibur Maskel starts on the previous page, Yud Beis Amar Yehuda, but this is on the next part, Yud Beis Man Aleph from the page of the Rif in Shabbos." He says, "Have you Odeya? Should that Tenu know that Shatcheles Ma Keves Alavon Ve'Alavon Es Tchelas the Armakiv the Alpha God the Tanya Chom Om Ein Makvin." Ha'parishu Gemara, who was the Chachamim? It turns out it was Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri, and it was one opinion. And it comes out, we go back to the rule, Halachik Rebbe Mechaveiro. Okay, it's really only one opinion, and therefore Halach is like Rebbe. And he goes through and he says that that's also the opinion of Rabbi Shimon Kira, who Baal Halach is Rishonis, so Baal Halach is Gedolos. Okay, he says others hold that way as well. So the Baal Amor paskins that way, Halach Alamaisim, which is interesting that it's in the Ma'akev. Now, the interesting thing is, would it be ma'akev? Well, how far do we go that it's ma'akev? You would say nothing if you wear it, okay, or just an incomplete mitzvah.
Or you'd be
so. Would you be an aver if you have the wrong things?
Because you have a four cornered garment.
Right, without tzitzis. So, Balamor is not a das yochid. Rabbeinu Sadia Gon, in his Sefer Mitzvahs, Mitzvahs Asay Zayin, says. And
wait,
he did.
You're Mavato Asay.
Yeah. But the question is, I'll tell you an interesting nafkamina. I don't know why they're doing Shabbos. If the garment is not really a garment, lahalocha, because you're not wearing it as a garment because it doesn't have tzitzis on it, so could you actually wear it on Shabbos without an Erev? And there are people to this day who do not go outside on Shabbos without an Erev, or they don't hold from the Erev anyway. They take the tzitzis off before leaving the house. And briskers follow that practice. Many, I don't know, all some people follow that practice. Because if you're wearing it as a halachic garment, it's okay, so then it's clothes. But if it's not, so then that's part of the shaila. But I don't want to go into that problem right now. But I'm just point out the balamor. The choshev is balamor. It's not just the balamor. But in sadugon and in sefer mitzvahs, mitzvahs say zayin. So again, I pointed out many times in the past that in sadugon's sefer mitzvahs has a long commentary from Rabbi Yochum Fishel Perlo about 100 something years ago. So again, you have sadugon's sefer mitzvahs is very short. It's poetic. He has one or two words for every mitzvah, so it's six. It goes to the Aleph Beis a few times. You know, it's a poetic structure. The Rebbe Sadugon, so this is one of three volumes. It started out five pages, okay, but he has many pages of commentary on each one. But anyway, he writes, "So ma'atol leflesi v'lorachok lomar shekain gam das Rabbeinu Hagaon, our master here, Rebbe Sadugon, that lifsok halacha kirebi the tchelas v'lovin makvin zezeh." That's why it's only one mitzvah. Okay, the tchelitz, and like you were saying, tchelitz and lovon are one single mitzvah, so therefore it's ma'akev. If there'd be two different mitzvahs, you could argue they're not ma'akev, but it's one mitzvah. All right, so you have to answer that. And I don't go into all that now either, but that is the yeshita of the, or perhaps the Sadya Gaon as well. Most Rishonim argue. The Ramban in the Melchamas Hashem on that same daf in Shabbos, it also starts in the Aleph Beis, goes over to the Beis and Aleph. He says, "Umasha Omer Balamor Zal Shaddai Tanosh Tachelis Makeves Ein as Alavan and so on." Because the last way he learns the Gemara, he says, "Ain a raya shal." There's no raya there at all. Ain a raya shal klum. He's misreading the Gemara. Rabban clearly disagrees. Rabban holds that no, they're not makiv. We pass him like the Stam Mishnah that it's because it's not makiv. Because ain a makiv is Alavan, and then. The Baal HaMor is wrong. So says the Ramban. Similarly, the Rosh. Now, in Maseches Menachos, which we're looking at, so Maseches Menachos, you know, there's no, most of Menachos, as the name indicates, is dealing with the Minch offerings, it's about Karbanos, Kachim. Okay, so you don't have, the Rosh, like the Rif, wrote only their Sefer Halachos in the back of the Gemara. They didn't write in the back of the Gemara, it's put in the back of the Gemara. Only on the Halacha, only on the Mesichtas that are Halacha Lamaisa. Right, so there's no riff on Menachos, but there are sections in Menachos which are halacha l'maaseh, including all this stuff about tzitzis. So the Rosh, and the riff also, we're looking at the Rosh now, the Rosh put all those together in the same style as the regular Rosh on Brachos or whatever. So he had something called halachos ktanos. That's what's printed, where the Rosh normally is printed after the Masechta. So he doesn't have on the whole Masechta, because most of the Masechta deals with matters relating to the Beis HaMikdash, so it's not his issue, because he only paskins about things that are no geir today. But he does obviously talk about tzitzis, so in the halachos ktanos and hilchos tzitzis, he writes of this machlokas, and he says that it's only Rebbe who holds that they're ma'akev, and the ain halacha k'Rebbe. So the Rosh writes mefurish that ain halacha k'Rebbe. That's what he writes in his halachos ktanos in Simon Vov, halachos ktanos there in Menachos. Similarly, in one of his tshuvas, there's a tshuvas harosh in Chelek Beis, Simon Tes, and he says, Umasha kasavta. Maybe you shouldn't go out in the street on Shabbos because maybe it's not proper tzitzis. He says, "Emesu shorisel tzatzavos shaynogin kain shu poshtin talis olam kishu yotzim ushurabim." But ani omer shachumer sheino tami. I disagree. Okay.
So let's say,
right? He says, "Dilma ikalamechos yichat." The chayes Hashem and nifsiku achut v'lo nishar behem kedei hech shetzitz im kain hech berachal b'shas. So how can you put make a broch on it and you put it on? Okay, that's worse. He's saying a broch al atolam. Okay, and if you're telling you checked it before, well, people don't check it so carefully. But furthermore, he says the ode the tzitzis ain't a nifsal b'kal. It's not easy to pasul to the chelas ain't a ma'akavis alav ain't a ma'akavis that's chelas. Okay, so the Rosh doesn't like that chumrah, and then he says we pasuk the not ma'akav anyway, so it's not an issue. Okay, so that's what I said. So you have the Rosh, you have the Ramban who disagreed with that Balamor. There's a Tshuva from the Rashba. I thought I brought here also. Yes, Tshuva Sarashba. Chelek Dalad, Simon Reish Nun Tes. He writes, Sha'alta Talis Ma'u Lotzis B'Shabbos Achre Sheinot Tchelis. Mi Avi Ketal Sheinot Tzitzke L'Choso. Domer Rav Huna Chayv Chatos Olo. He says, Tshuva, Ad Shatashol Lotzis B'Shabbos Tishol Imivarchel Abachol. You're worried about wearing Shabbos. How can you make a broch on a weekday? Okay, she matchelas ma'akevis halavan avzu ain mitzvahs kilchosva asol varchal. You can't make a broch on it. What are you worried about Shabbos? You should be able to make a broch on it. If ain't matchelas ma'akevis halavan, The avzu mitzvahs is kochos. The also on Shabbos.
Okay. Bringing up a bracha.
No, you mentioned
bracha.
Okay.
Be aware that
yeah. All right. You're right. I don't mention. But he says the Rif Paskins command them, but that's because they're not worried about it. They all Paskin ain't at Chelis Ma'akas Eleven. V'nir and Dvarav v'chach anu osim ma'ase kedvarav bein b'chol bein b'shabbos. So we accept. So again, most of the Rishonim I just showed you the Rashbo, Rabban and the Balamor, who's Rashbo's Rebbe. It's understandable they would hold that way. And the Rosh, they all hold that that the Chelis is not Ma'akev. Just we have others. I wanted you to know there are some sheets that hold the other way, but the Rambam also, Perek Aleph of Hilchos Tzitzis, Halacha Dalad. Rambam writes, Hatcheles eino makas halovan, v'halovan eino makas hatcheles keitzan, harisha eino tcheles osa halovan levado, v'chein was halovan tcheles v'nifzak halovan v'nismar al kanaf v'nisha tcheles levado kosher, fine, they're not makas. So that's how most of the Rishonim hold. However, the bottom line is that everybody agrees that if you have the tcheles, should put it on. What's the question? You know, yeah, maybe not okay, but yeah, but this and that. But if you have tchelis, then lechora, there shouldn't be any question that you should put it on. So all of that is the part one of the shir. That's why I don't go into all the issues of the colors and what the chilozin is right now. But as you all know, in the last 20 years or so, there's a group of people who have felt that they have rediscovered what the chalazon is. We have already statements in days of Rishonim, they don't have chalazon, because we sort of lost the tradition as to what exactly the chalazon is. Now, why that happened, how that happened, okay, historically, it's an interesting question. There are those who suggest, historically, we know there are rules that chalazon was expensive, and it was a sign of royalty. Matter of fact, we know there are records that at the time of the Romans, if you were a peasant or commoner, you were not permitted to wear certain colored garments. Everything today is color. But, you know, one time wasn't like that. You have to look up, you have a chance, Google color, the history of color. It's very fascinating. I looked at something. Everything now is bright colors. But we live with that. At one time, everything were kind of bland colors. If you had colors, that was a sign of chashiv. As a matter of fact, not that it's tchelis, but you know the fact that when we have in our talis these black stripes, you know, some people have the tzitzis also decorative. That was a sign of, you know, if you had stripes. I mean, we have the expression in English, "You earn your stripes." You know, I mean, not the average person, you couldn't put colors on it. So it was, and a commoner wearing tchelis and things like that was subject to punishment in Roman times. So it could be that, you know, because they couldn't manufacture it. They were probably very regulated who could even manufacture it. And that may be, again, I'm just extrapolating, not me, but people say this, you know, there's articles about it. But in any event, so most people were not wearing anything with tchelis in it for hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of years, you know, since the time of the Gemara earlier, okay? But in the last 20 years or so, there's to the point that we don't even sure anymore what the chalazon, what this creature is. And I don't want to go into now, we can talk about the chalazon another time. But there are those who assume today that it's a snail called Murex trunculus, which is a certain type of a snail. And it fits many, many of the, descriptions and the colors that I color, all kinds of details, again, which I'm not going into now. But it's a fascinating subject. There's a lot of literature. I've spoken about it over the years in past shiurim. You can listen to my shiurim or other people, more detail. There's a lot of literature. And it's very fascinating. Eretz Yisrael, you see many, many people wearing it, even here. And it's, to some extent, anyway, it's gone across party lines, so to speak. There's a whole big chabur in Lakewood. Okay, that wears tchelis. I know I spoke on the phone a couple times with one of the guys up there. Okay, so it's in the Haredi world also. You know, Rabbi Tversky, the psychiatrist, wore tchelis. Yes, he did. Okay, he was. Now, my brother-in-law, after full disclosure, my brother-in-law is one of the people who manufactures it. He's the head, CEO, whatever his title is, of this foundation. So he convinced me many years ago that it's correct. But at first I didn't do it because I said, look, my Rebbeim don't wear it. But then Reshechta started to wear it, and as soon as that became known, he called me up and said, you're out of excuses. So then I do wear it. And many people wear it. It's popularity, so and so on. But really the truth is, more than 100 years ago in the late 1800s, Chassidische Rebbe, the Radzina Rebbe, or Liner, Radzina Rebbe, rediscovered it, quote unquote, although it's been shown that he was not correct. He was duped by somebody because they added an ingredient and so on. But in any event, so there's been a lot of research in the last 150 years or so in it, and not that many people are aware. So the question is, and the riyas are very good. The evidence is very strong. What's the downside?
If it's what would, If it's wrong, what are you doing? It's called Tulsa. What?
Nothing. No, I don't know. So that's the question I'd like to look at tonight. Why is it just now?
What if they're the
there are those, right? So those who say that look, it's wrong, and there's no purpose in putting something. There are those who think it's wrong. You know, very simple. Think it's not correct, and they're cautious in the Gemara. Okay, a couple of years ago, I gave a shiur in response. Here, Rabbi Reisman, Shlita, the big Tal Chacham, gives that very popular Navi Shir Motzei Shabbos in Brooklyn. It's, you know, thousands of people going. He's a major Tal Chacham. He wrote a Sefer Hilchos Ribbis. He's sort of great. I mean, I don't know him personally, but actually I spoke to him once. He was helpful with something. But, you know, he came out and he said he doesn't think it's correct. But, you know, I thought that his arguments were not correct. But many people, there are those who say that it's, you know. So, to me, if somebody thinks that it's not correct, I can understand it. But the question is, it seems that there are people who still will not wear tefillin, even though they believe that it is correct. You can believe they still won't put it on. Okay, they won't put this tefillin on. Okay?
What?
What's that?
Because your Rebbe didn't. Mm. That's a reason.
Right. So the question is, well, what is the halakhic background? So why, you know, there's certainly, without a doubt, Gedolei Torah today, who there are plenty of Gedolei Torah today who do wear, both here and in Eretz Yisrael. Okay, again, so in the YU world, of Shechta wears it, Rabbi Tendler wears it. In the more yeshivish world, I was told that towards the end of his life, Rabbi Belsky from Torah Das, went on Rizam Lechemi Goldberg in Eretz Yisrael, and in fact, I have with me, if you want to look at it later, my brother-in-law is here now. That's what I was thinking about Tchelis. He brought me a little sefer called Kuntres HaMichtovim, Be'inyan Mitzvah Tchelis Rizan HaZeh, a collection of statements from, you know, different Gedolei Torah about, you know, in favor of it. A few people from the past, but some people now, including Rabbi Belsky, and, you know, from the Haredi world, including Hasidim, and so on. You know, there's a yeshiva in Yerushalayim called Zilberman's. That's where the kids wear tefillin all day. You see, walk around the old city, and they all wear tchelis, you know. In the Machon HaMikdash, you can see things of tchelis. So again, it's a very, very fascinating subject. In general, there's a lot to say about it. I mean, you know, I've talked about it for a long time. I've given shiur in the past. I think one of the shiur, I think, was a response to Reisman's shiur that I gave a few years ago. I think Mashman Parshas Korach or Shlach. Anyway, what is one of the main objections? So one of the main objections was from the Beis Halevi. Great grandfather of Soloveitchik, who had the same name, right? Rabbi Yosef Dov Halevi Soloveitchik. So, what exactly did the Beis Halevi say? So, his great grandson, Rabbi Yosef Beisav, the Rav, said as follows. This is printed in the Sefer called Shiurim Lezecher Abba Mori, which is a collection of Shiurim of Soloveitchik. This is the old edition. So, in this edition, it's page Reish Chav Ches. It has a shiur called Shnei Sugei Masores. Okay? And this is, again, on page Reish Chav Ches in this edition. It's Os Gimel or Per Gimel of that shiur. So he writes, it says as follows. He says, Shtei Mesoris, there's two concepts of Mesorah. Mesoris achas hamitcheses kulo le Mesorah shel limud. Right, the Mesorah in terms of learning, vikuach, maso matin, behora, sichlis, psak, and so on, ze omer kach, ve ze omer kach, ze nos entanos, ve ze nos entanos, machlokas, people arguing back and forth, and so on and so forth. But om the aluminium, kamosha, torment, seslon, rajah, kamer, you figure out now what's the majority. And that's one tradition, so to speak. Beis, masoris, masis, shahan hogas, klal yisrael, bekia mitzvahs. Vizum, you said it's ala posuk, shalavicha, viagecha, zekenech, vimulach. You said, you're Rabbi Rebbe, my father, and so on and so forth. Right? Didn't wear it, so I'm not wearing. So he writes, Yodua mashir ben zikni hagon of Yosef Dov HaLevi, my great grandfather Yosef Dov HaLevi, okay? Ubein ha'admor hagon mi radzin. That's a line of the Radzin Rebbe, who popularized Chelis in the late 1800s. He was a genius of a person. He, for whatever reason, decided to pursue this issue, looked it up, and spoke to a marine biologist, and he went, there was someone in Italy, okay, yes, self-educated, okay, and he wrote a little sefer, that's a little, I have a sefer here called Ein HaTcheles, okay, from the Radzina Rebbe. Radzina Rebbe, you know, was Gershon Hennechleiner.
Early the last people to take it on.
What's that? No, so his Hasidim took it on once he said this is it. He came back. Now he basically got it from a squid called a cuttlefish or something. It was shown later that the I may as well tell you since we have a second. We'll take a second. I went to one, but the very fascinating story. So he went and he concluded he has all the simon. This is the tchelis. He came back to Europe and he told many Gedolei Torah. Some people agreed, some people disagreed. Of course, his Hasidim, the Rebbe said, so they put it on, and the Radzina Hasidim wore. And some of them also connect, I think, the Breslov, they also wear some of them. But anyway, they wore it. Now, Rav Yitzchak Isaac Halevi Herzog, okay, who became who was the first chief rabbi of the state of Israel. Right, Rav Kook was the first, but there was no state then. Right, Rav Kook had the title Rabbi Rashi, but it was before 1948. So then came Rav Herzog, and he was, you know, there for the Commerce of Medina. He was also a genius, you know, he came from Ireland. Before that, he was a chief rabbi of Ireland. And he has a PhD, actually, and his topic of his PhD is called Hebrew Porphyrology, which is a term that he coined, okay, the colors of Tchelis and Argoman. He says, new science, I mean, they knew everything. When I have the book, I can get it. It's available. Okay, and print his PhD thesis on the biblical blue, the biblical purple, and so on and so forth. And he did, and he shows all the science of how clear, you know, I don't know the science, but he did. He was one of the people who knew everything. He spoke many languages, a genius. But anyway, Sir of Herzog did research, and he showed that the Radziner Rebbe was wrong, because he had been duped, because one of the other ingredients that was put in will change anything to the color. It wasn't the color. The color wasn't coming from the fish. Okay, what's interesting is just an ironic postscript of history. It just shows, you know, strange, because Baruch works in strange ways. So Radzin, like so many communities in Europe, were destroyed in the Holocaust. When the Hasidim reconstituted Eretz Yisrael, and they had dye makers, they had factories that manufactured it, but it was all destroyed, but, you know, in the Holocaust. So when they wanted to put it back together years later in Eretz Yisrael, so they had some of the writings of their Rebbe, but they went to Rav Herzog, because Rav Herzog had communicated not with the Rebbe, because the Rebbe was dead, but with the dye masters, okay? So they had all his letters. He was, at the same time that he showed that it was wrong, lahalacha, he kept it alive, because they didn't care what he said, the Rebbe said, and that's it, you know, the chassidim. So there are people aware of that. But Rav Herzog, you know, pointed in a different direction. But anyway, so one of the people that Radziner Rebbe went to was the Beis Halevi of Yosef Dov Salvechik. So it says, here's what the Rebbe says. Shareb Radzin chidsha v'tziva l'cho chassidav l'hatil tcheles b'tzitzioseim. Admor nisa lochiecha yisod harbe rayas katzeva zehu b'mas tcheles. Right? He tried to prove that it's tcheles. Rav Yosef Dov ton keneged. Beis Halevi was against it. Ramar she'ain rayos v'sorot. Okay, how many proofs and sorots you bring? She'ain rayos v'tzichos lochiech shum dovar b'mili d'shaych l'masoros. Okay? Shal shalavir ge'edcha. Shom ein hasvara machriya ki ma mesora atzmo. Kach ro ovus v'kach nohagim nohagim v'chein tzorach lino kabonim. The fathers do, the sons do. That's our mesora. There is no mesora for this. You can bring all kinds of riots from gemaras and archaeology and science. Everything was good. Beautiful. We're not changing. That.
He wouldn't need turkey.
So therefore, okay, very conceivable. I don't know. But in the Tchelis factory, there's a sign, the Tchelis factory, right? It's a shack, you know, near Malay Adumim. But you've been there?
Where is it?
Near Malay Adumim.
Okay,
so I've been there a number of times. So there's a sign. You won't wear a sign, a big sign. It says, you won't wear Tchelis because there's no Masorah. But do you eat turkey? And it's underneath it says, Masorah, use it wisely. That's like a cute thing. But anyway, but that's the way the Rav quotes the... in other words, according to this approach, according to what the Rav says in the name of the Beis Halevi, it's not in the Chuvah of Beis Halevi anywhere, but according to the Rav said, the family tradition of Beis Halevi said, you have to have a Masorah and you can't reconstitute it without the Masorah. In the Sefer Ein HaTcheles, which the Radziner Rebbe wrote, he has a different presentation of what the Beis Halevi said. In his Akdoma, okay, in this volume it's page Zion, but whatever, it doesn't matter. He says, among the people objected, Mehem Hagon Avezin Kadosh Mibrisk Delita, right, the Beis Halevi, Shaiya, and he bases his whole thing on the Masorah, and he says that if somebody, he's according to what he reports, he said, if somebody will show and so on and so forth, we would have to put on Tcheles. But that's only if, okay, we're saying that the reason we didn't do it till now was because it was lost. We couldn't find it. We didn't know what animal it was. But he said, Achein, im nomar ki adag ha metzias. V'gam hotza tzivo hayadua b'chol zman min hazmanim sh'avu aleinim ha'eish sh'poshka tchelis mitzvah. V'al kol zel lolov sh'u avoseinu v'avoseinu v'avoseinu hara ke'ilu yeishonu b'kabolo masoros m'avoseinu ki ze adag v'tzivo einenu achilazon v'atchelis av sh'u b'chol ha'simonim sh'simonu bo chazal. It's a different approach. The way the Rav said it over was, since we don't have a tradition for this, we can't do it. Well, the way the Radziner Rebbe tells it over what the Beis Halevi said, he's saying, if you have a fish like this squid, this cutlefish, the common, was known throughout the generations, and it's clear how to manufacture it. Everyone knew, and yet they didn't. No one else did till you, the Radziner Rebbe, came along. That must show that there's a Masorah. That's not the right thing. That's not the same argument. Okay? He's saying it there, it's like we have Masoros. This is wrong. Otherwise, why did they do it last year and 2 years ago and 50 years ago and 150 years ago and 500 years ago? Why did they do it? They knew about this. Okay? So you bring all the rayos, it doesn't matter. The afilu nirber kachol, rayos lo ilu neged a kabbalah Masoros. Okay? Rak acharei asher yivar kidag ze omelechet so nifsak v'nishkach. If you can demonstrate that this was something that nobody knew about and that's why it stopped, okay, that's a different story. Well, according, there's a tremendous nafkamina. Then he said it would be okay. So, in other words, the Masorah.
It wasn't right. Against the Masorah.
Right, that's the point. And as he said, if this thing was available and nobody used it, okay, everyone knew about it, and nobody used it, so then obviously it's as if there's a Masorah, that's not the right thing. But if something wasn't known, that's something different. Rav Shechter quotes in the Nefesh HaRav, okay, he has an opening. One of the opening essays about the Indian Masorah, okay, talks about restoring Masorah and so on and so forth. So he mentions that V'Kehotz is on page Nun Gimel. Okay, he says, V'Kehotz is a regular Rabbeinu Lomar, the Rav used to say, B'Shem Agon Baal Bais Halevi, She'Keshechidah She'Admo Miradzin Asinah HaTcheles, Yotzu K'neg D'Kama M'Gaonei Zmano B'Tainos Hilchatiyot Shonos, you know, halachic arguments, V'Agon V'Yosef Be'ezal Sholach Elav Michtov Bo Hutan Kanal, the Me'achar She'Nifsek HaMisorah, since the Misorah stopped, B'Dvar Ziyo HaChilozon, then Shareze Kama Dorosh Eno Yodim Hayni Udag HaChilozon, Afilo Itzlachno Shachzir Yediyah Zoy De'Ochochos Technios, technical rayas, madio, scientific, and other times of proof. Mikomokom lo sucho yediyah zuli kanes ol b'chal Masorah. You can't bring it back into the Masorah. Okay, that's the way the Rav told it over in the footnote in 26. He says taina zulo who be sifur shagarim gershon henach. Line the ain't a tchelis. Eladivei Rabbi Brisk who was shama on a different b'tzura acher legamrei. The me'acher shadag hazeh. Which he thought was the one, the cuttlefish. Tomid hoya nimtza itzal avoseno. V'gam ofan otzot tzivu gam kani yadua b'choz ma'amen ezmanim sh'arbo enemei shal posukom ezo. V'al kozein, and quotes what I said before. He said, that's the way it's written over there. And he said, that's a tremendous difference. Okay? So Rav Shechter writes, ha'dover yotze lehefech legamrei ma'asher omar rabbeinu mishmo. It's exactly opposite of what the way the Rav quoted the Beis Halevi. And all the Briskers quote the Beis Halevi that way. That was how it had in the family. Ulechor lefi divar rabbeinu yotze shal olam ef shal havi raya. According to the Rav, you can never bring, according to the way the Rav told it over, you can never bring something once it's lost. And he said, we see Gemaras that don't say like that. He's, for example, it's a Gemara, the Rabbi Baruch Hana visited, we mentioned this once before, Rabbi Baruch Hana, Gemara Baba Basra, visited a, somehow, someone took him where the Meisei Midbar were buried. That's what this once, right? Where and they were wearing klitzes. So he wasn't interested in Tcheles, but the question of, we have three or four. So they asked him, basically, did you take a look? He didn't even look. The other Rabbanim cursed him out. You idiot. You were there. You saw what the tzitzis looked like. Why don't you report it back? What do you want to report it back? According to Beis Halevi, it wouldn't help. Right? So my point being, one argument that some people will say over, the Briskers will say that over, and Talmidim Rav Soloveitchik, and that's Rav Soloveitchik. It could be that the Beis Halevi said both things, we don't know. The Rav reported what was, I guess, the Torah Shebaal Peh, so to speak, in the family, that's what the Beis Halevi said, but what's printed in the Radzina Rebbe's book is something very different. You see the difference, right? In other words, he said, according to the way the Rav and the family tells it over, the Beis Halevi says that you can't introduce something new into the Masorah. Once something is out of the Masorah, you can't bring something else new in it. And that's it. So I can bring 100 rye, it doesn't help.
Bring something back.
It's something once it's lost, it's out.
Like, turkey never was there.
But forget the turkey for a second. My point being that, right.
It has to be something that was there.
And once something was gone, right, and then you can't bring it back. Okay?
Because turkey is a completely different thing. There's no mitzvah eating turkey.
Just bring it to the Masorah issue. But the other point, but the way the Barzina Rebbe has it printed in the Sefer, that's not true. He's saying that when you had something which all along people knew about and didn't use, so that's a Masorah, like, quote unquote, a negative Masorah, so to speak. That's different. So therefore,
it's against them.
It's not against. It's as if there's a Masorah not to do it.
Yeah, the fact that if they know about it and there's a bunch of people not doing it while it's
readily available, then apparently, and nobody uses it, apparently that shows it's not the right thing.
That's worse than if it was completely...
Right, and therefore, if that's the case, yes, so that's the way it's written.
Who holds that?
That's the way the Beis Halevi's objection is written in the Sefer Ein HaTcheles by the Radzina Rebbe. Okay?
was the way the Rav. Now the nafkamina would be with today's Murex trunkers. That wasn't available. Nobody knew it. It's available. You can't get it. It's not on land. You have to go down in the ocean. Whatever it is. In other words, it wasn't known how to do it. So according to the Rav's way, I don't care.
Oh, so if it okay? was a cuttlefish, then that would hold true.
Right. Right. Exactly. So that objection thing, that objection may or may not work
makes
today.
A difference which one?
Yeah. Exactly. Now there are a couple other objections besides the Masoris objection. There is a sefer, the Kovetz Chuvas of Al-Yashiv, it's an Al-Rocha, from Yosef Shon Al-Yashiv, in Chelek Aleph, Simon Beis, he has a, he wrote to Rafael Cohen in Brooklyn, it's a Tcheles B'tzitzis B'zman Azeh, okay, so he says, he also says, he quotes the Tana of the Beis Halevi, okay, the way it's printed, I mean, he's not from the Salvation family, so he didn't know what the oral tradition was, but he writes, V'ano lo yodano, okay, excuse me. Ma im hamtzo ashem tziu chokrei zmanenu im gamaleh chalatana na'al. I'm not so convinced. I think that if someone discovered something today, that the Beis Halevi's taina would work. It wouldn't work, right? I mean, he's saying it nicely, but it wouldn't work. It only works the way the Rav told it over. It doesn't work the way it's printed. Okay, yeah. Then he mentions, but he does mention some other things. Okay. Yeah. So he summarized the whole issue, by the way. I mean, but anyway, he writes, "Vagon mikutni Yeshua kutni sefer Yeshua's Malko." He writes the following: "Kvar huchzak etzel Yisrael ze yosem elef shana shenignas hatchelus." He has a different objection. It's not—I don't know about Mesorah and bring something new and not bring something new, but we have an understanding that the tchelus was nignas. Upashat loshna sifri parshas bracha umidrosh shal ariza maskim was there shein atchelas elav isman beis hamikdash v'gam malach tzvila is barer. Okay, so some details of how to prepare it and so on, and we can't paskin that way. So that's his objection. Then he mentions something else, and Shulchan Aruch says we'll see all the sources in a second. You have to make the tzitzis the color of the talis the way we do it today. So anyway, he has. It sounds like he's explaining why people don't use it. What's he getting at?
When
so,
means like, it's hidden for everybody that there was a
right. So that's what he quotes. So let's see where that comes from. Okay. Just before I get to that, though, I do want to mention that one of the Rishonim, one of the later Rishonim, I'm sorry, the Chuvas Maharil. Maharil is, you know, a very important halachic figure for I have to thank my brother for some of these makoros, but the Maharil writes. He showed me this one. In Simon Hay in Chuvas Maharil Chadosh or Simon Hay, he talks about also about talking about tzitzis and about putting tzitzis on linen garments and so on. So today we don't wear on linen garments because you know you used to be able to wear woolen tzitzis on linen garments even though it's shatnez because it's docha shatnez, but today it wouldn't be anyway. But in the course of his discussion, he says, "Usvarahu the Shema Yachzor Dovah Kekulu Shehatchelas Motzei." Maybe you know we have to keep observing certain things the way they did it because maybe the Tchelas will be found again, right? And it'll become commonplace. Well, he didn't say anything about Mesorah and about you can't bring it. Monday it'll be found. Okay, and meaning even if you want to hold the base, you know, I once had an argument with somebody about Tchelas. He said, "Well, the base Halevi." So I said the Beis Halevi is an Aram Gala Ma'od, no question about it. But I said it sort of tongue-in-cheek, but what's the Mesorah that you need a Mesorah? Where's the Mesorah for that? Okay, the Beis Halevi said it good, but others disagree. You know what I'm saying? So it's not, they're not so posh. You know, don't get us so excited about that. But this concept is an interesting point. This concept in the Medrash, Bamidbar Rabbah, that's in Parsha Shlach, Perek Yud Zayin, Parsha Yud Zayin, Simon Hay, writes as follows: "The Achshav Ein Lanu Ela Lovan Shatecheles Nignaz." That's in the Medrash. I can imagine Techeles is gone. It's been Nignaz. So whatever, I understand it's been put away. We don't have Techeles anymore. Similarly, the Sifrei in Parshas Vizos Habrocha was the end of the Chumash in Simon Shin or in Shin Nun Dalad in the Sifrei. Sifrei is those Habrocha. Simon Shin Nun Dalad and the Pasuk Kishefa Yomim Yinaku Usunay Tmunichol, and that's where the Chilazim is found and the Shevet and so on. And he says also it's Nignaz Letzadikim LaOlam Haba. Okay, that somehow the Tcheles is put away for the Tzadikim LaAsid Lavo LaOlam Haba. So you have a similar message again. Rav Eliashiv quoted that, and he also quoted from the Arizal. So in the Shar Hakavanos of the Arizal, one of the Arizal's farm, in Inyan Tzitzis, Grush Dalad, everything. It's everything. And Kabbalah and everything else. Yeah. So he writes, Nivar Tchila Inna Tisra Unogim is Mancha Beis HaMikdash Kayam. On the Beis HaMikdash was standing. Then they had the Tchilas. Well, the truth is, that's a bit of a problematical argument to say, well, it's been Nignaz and so on. When was it Nignaz and why was it Nignaz? You know, there is a Gemara in Menachas, okay, which we were looking at before, which I guess I put away here.
Does that mean they found the paraduma then? Because
it'd be a good question. Yeah. Okay. And Daf Mem Gimel and Aleph, the Gemara tells a story there. Okay, it says Mar. Where is it now? Was it Mem Gimel and Aleph? No, I'll finish up here. Mem Gimel and Aleph. Aleph. Mar Mimashchi, a certain rabbi, that was his name. Okay. Here it is. Okay. Mar Darash, one second. I can't find the Gemara. Oh, here it is. Mar Mimashchi, okay, Rashi says, Mar was Shem Chochm, his name, Mimashchi, Shem Mokom, the place. I see Tchilta b'shnei Rav Achoy. He had Tchilas in the years of Rav Achai. Rav Achai was one of the late. Now, whether it means Rav Achai going on, it's not that late, it's not in the Gemara. But it seems to be that he was one of the later Amoraim, if not maybe from the Saboraim, after the Amoraim. So, relatively late, this Gemara is reporting that it had Tchilas. Certainly not Beis HaMikdash Kayim, is at the end of the Amoraic period, beginning of the Saboraic period, is long after. So it's hard to understand, it's hard to claim that, you know, somehow Nignaz when the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed. No, we see that it existed after the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed. But in any event, that's what the Rabbi Yashiv says, the name of this is Yeshua Kutna in Shulz Malkov. He also mentions this notion that it says in the Shacharach and Arachayim Simon Tess. All these things that we actually refer to. That's what I'm just showing. I showed it to you inside. He's very brief in the truth. He just doesn't spell it out. But in any event, so we have an issue with Masorah. Even out of Masorah, we have this concept of being Nignaz, but the Masorah really depends on how you learn what the Beis HaLevi really meant. It's not so poshut. The Nignaz is also a little strange to say it was Bezman Beis HaMikdash when we find that it existed after the Beis HaMikdash. Although, full disclosure, the Shulchan Aruch says in Siman Tess of Arachayim, Hilchos Tzitzis, Siv Beis, Tzitzis will pishim, Oshel Tzemachin, and Poch, Mekom, and Evgadim, Chuz, will pishim, will tzemel, pishim, is manazeh, the lekatchesh, meshem, kilayim. Like I said before, you can't mix the two wool threads, wool tzitzis on a linen garment and so on, because it's a problem of kilayim. Okay? And the Groh, the Bir HaGroh, says, Bizman HaZeh, he says, Ayin Medrash Rabba Pasha Shlach, V'achshav Eino El Olavim. So he learns it by quoting that source. That means that's a halachic source. Not just telling you that it's Nignaz. It's a halachic source. We don't, and it's a halachic ramifications. I'm just pointing out that's what the Groh says. Later in what Rav Yashi refers to is in Siv Dalet, he says, not Siv Dalet, but Siv, it says, Yesh omrim tzitzorach laso tzitzit mitzeva talis v'medakta genoing ukein. And Ramor at Ashkenazim lo noigim lo sosa tzitzis rak levonim af begonim tzum en l'shana. We always make it white. Okay, but that's the match. Min konim. Okay, that's something else. You have to try and figure out, I just want to finish up now, again, why this should be, you know, why there's all this objection. Aside from politics and whoever else, Rav Sternbuch has a tshuva.
What is there to lose?
It's very hard to say what they'll lose. But again, if you people don't want to tamper with the Masorah, whatever exactly that means.
What are you over?
Let's see. So I'll just show one or two other sources.
And there's no Masorah. What are you doing wrong?
Again, okay, but you're going against the Masorah. If you want to say you're going against the Masorah, or like we just said, you're going against this and it says Nignaz, so we shouldn't do it. We don't rush things.
People pay money for it.
Yeah. Right, why do it? Right. On the plus side, but the question of what I'm trying to discuss now is what if you're sure that it is a tchel? You know, but now Rav Sternbuch has a tshuva, chelik aleph of tshuvas on Hagos, Shalosh tshuvas on Hagos, Simon Chav Vav, Haim Yeshid Delubah Shechelis HaMechudeshes Betzitzes, and so on. And he quotes the Radzina Rebbe, and he quotes, more recently, whatever, the taina that it is, okay, Yeshmi Chasid Radzin, and disagree, or whatever. He says something, I don't know what he means by this necessarily, but he quotes this Yeshua's Malkovi mentioned, and he says, it's hard for me to imagine, whatever that means, okay, it's hard for me to imagine that Dafka in this door, there's such a sod, secrets, the Tchelas, the Domal Arki, and so on, it's hard to imagine, Nirisha Dafka Bizman Azeh, She'ain Hester Kamo, Zachino Lizgalos, the Tchelas. In our time, we are on Kavod Chayes, it's such a dark time. Like, I don't know, that doesn't sound like the strongest time in the world. I mean, you know, it's true. That's basically saying. So that's what he's saying. I think it's a little difficult, okay, but that's what he says. And, you know, it's another reason. It's just even, you know, he's not arguing, but we can't put it on. It's, you know, we don't have the chutzpah. How is it to do it today? I don't know why. In other words, and then later on in the Tshuva, he mentions something else. He says it's a problem because if some people are going to wear it, some people are not going to wear it, that it's a, you know, it's a problem losis go to do, and so on and so forth. Also, a weak time, if somebody had, my opinion, okay? I mean, let's say you have a community, it was common in Europe, you know, not everybody had a lulav and esrog. So you tell the guy who has it, and they better not do it because, you know, the other people aren't doing it. I mean, it's you know. And finally, another objection, which I think can also be also a weaker objection, in the Sefer Ginas Egos of Schechter, in Chelek Beis, Simon Beis, it's a whole essay on this subject of Hatolas Chelas Betzitzes, but in Ozvav, he quotes that some people quoted in the name of Yitzhak Chonan, who said, She'af ha'esh sovar sh'atcheles ha'admarazin ha'ya ba'mamish. Yitzhak Chonan, specter on the Gdol Ador in the 1800s, thought that the Marazin Rebbe had a good point. Mikomoko mi'in li'shtamish ba'. You know, but he still didn't want to do it for side reasons, mitam politihim, whatever that means. Hudavar tamu ba'od. What kind of, it's very schwer, he says, that it's to say other reasons, other factors, you know. My brother told me that one Rav in Herzl objected, and he says, because he knows, you're going to put on tchelis, the next thing you do is go up on harbais. You know, that he goes, everyone wears tchelis always goes on harbais. I don't know. It's not true. I went because I've gone and been arbeit. That's what he says. Finally, in the Sefer Mikhtovim, so there's a Sefer. I just got this today, so it's hot off the presses. Hagon Rabbanach. I mean, I don't actually when I printed it, but I just got it. Doesn't say when. But anyway, the Hagon Rabbanach Mendel Shafran or Safran. I'm not sure how you pronounce it. From Bnei Brak, my brother told me he's a Haredi. So he has in his presentation. He says, in effect, it boils down to that we don't want to change. People don't want to change things, and communities always did things a certain way, and that's it. When you have new communities, they change. He said new communities sometimes change things. He said certain minhagim change. For example, in Poland and Hungary, they always kept their benetamshkia, okay, by tzeisuk chavim. But that was before the war. Then after the war, in America, most people don't keep. They change. So he said that's because new communities were constituted. But the old communities, they simply do. In effect, it boils down to Chodesh Osman HaTorah. And he said that's the justification, you know, at least in the Haredish world. He doesn't agree with it. Okay, he says, Abu Bavadai, Dover Chosh, Vieshva Tuel, Gdola. Okay, but you know, he at least justifies it. So I showed you some of the justifications of those people who refuse. Again, if you want to argue halachically, okay, that's a different discussion. But a number of people seem to be convinced halachically and scientifically that it's right and still don't wear it. And so we went through some of the reasons. I think that some of the reasons we disagreed with. Okay, wish everybody a good Shabbos.
What would be the reason why they're